Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Mark Roberts is a senior level sales and marketing leader with over 35 years experience driving profitable sales growth in market leading organizations. Mark is also an author, public speaker, sales trainer, sales strategist, and sales coach. In 2018, he received the Business Excellence Award from NSME, and in 2019, the High Spot Sales Enablement Award. He is also recognized by Sales Hacker, Inc. in the Sales Enablement category. Mark is the founder of OTB Solutions, LLC, and the popular business development blog, NoSmokeAndMirrors.com, ranked number one in fixing sales problems. He's with us today to discuss the latest strategies that he's been helping companies implement so they can scale and achieve growth of over 20%. Welcome to the podcast, Mark. I'm so excited to have you.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell our audience what you do, and then more importantly, why you do it?
Well, for about going on 37 years now, I've been helping companies grow profitably. It's like a passion. It's something that happened to me early in my career. I was helping a small plastics company around $4 million in sales. And, you know, I was so blessed to work there because it put this passion in me to help people grow profitably. That little company, 13 years later, was sold for $300 million.
Oh, my gosh.
So once you've done that, it's almost addictive. Yeah. So that seems to be my gift. I tell people that come to me, look, if what you want to do is grow 2 to 3% a year, I can send you to somebody that can help you do that. But what my passion is, let's talk about 20%, 50%. Some of my clients have doubled their sales in 18 months. That's the kind of company that seems to really value what I do.
Yeah. And so when you talk about working with the company, you are working with the entire team, the CEO on down, or sales teams. I know you talk a lot about sales and sales training and coaching. So clarify who it is that you're working with and how you work with them to achieve that kind of success.
Yeah, typically it's a CEO that wants to engage. Sometimes it's a CFO. And then on some occasions, it's actually like a VP of sales.
Okay.
But in most cases, it's the CEO and the senior leadership team. They decide that they're just not scaling at the pace that they want or need. Sometimes what triggers an event with me is they just started working with private equity. Mm-hmm. And they got an influx of investment and they want to scale. But they don't want to like waste time, waste money. They want to go with somebody that's done it, you know, maybe hundreds of times. And that's kind of what I've done.
Yeah. So when you say scaling, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, companies go through different phases. I mean, there's the launch phase. At that point, a lot of times it's just taking care of customers that came to you early. Mm-hmm. It's very product focused. And then there's the sales phase where we scale sales. And then there's the phase of how do we make more profit? We improve our systems, our processes, we have documentation, we improve our overall efficiency and effectiveness. I try to figure out where somebody's at and then how do we get them to the next phase? And sometimes, you know, once we've gone through all three phases, they might launch a new product, which again, starts the process all over again. A new market starts the process all over again. I just picked up a new client that wants to expand internationally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we do is, and again, I'm really blessed to have done this in the past. I take more of like a diagnostic approach. I let the data tell us, okay, where are we? What's the current state? I let the leaders of the company tell me where they want to go, what's their vision, why they want to be there, because the why is really important. Uh-huh. And then we connect the dots. We all collaborate and we say, okay, based on this, what do we need to grow? And we develop a plan.
Uh-huh. And then are you there to help them implement that plan?
Yeah, often an engagement, you know, after we assess, there's usually some training needed. There's some new systems. Today, there's a lot of work done with marketing, digital marketing. That's why I often send you people to help. You know, the digital footprint is so critical today. And then also just overall, like how we treat our employees, employee engagement, it all comes in at different times. Yeah. But again, I like using different assessment instruments because it can help us quickly figure out the current state.
Yeah. And I know lately you've been talking a little bit about training and virtual trainings spread out over time. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, I was forced to do virtual training back when the pandemic hit. Yeah. I was really concerned because here I am a trainer and nobody's wanting strangers in their building. Nobody wants their own employees in their building. And what I started doing was I did some research on how to do virtual training, which is not, by the way, you know, just taking your training and you know,
putting it on
would have
Zoom.
Done live and putting it on Zoom. And I converted a lot of the courses that I've used over the years to virtual. Uh-huh. And they're highly interactive. They build on each other. And they're spaced out over time to improve retention. I've developed at least 12 courses based on different steps of the sales process. And then supporting courses, little tiny modules based on need. And again, these come out of the assessment instruments I use. Oh, interesting. Your team is amazing at presentation skills, but they really need some help with consultative selling and closing. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I have some training off the shelf. I have some training in my LMS system where you can take it online.
Yeah.
You know, it's called asynchronous. You do it at your own pace.
Yeah.
But real important with training is the application exercises.
Yeah.
And when it comes to virtual, I think what people enjoy is, you know, I'm asking them questions. They're asking me questions. We're doing some knowledge transfer. But before we get together again, they have to do some homework. Mm-hmm. And in that homework, we're actually building the parts of their sales playbook. They just don't realize it.
And so tell us what a sales playbook is for people who don't.
Yeah, what we owe our people today is, you know, we got to give them a playbook. You know, who is it that we sell? Who are we? You know, don't assume people know the history of your company or that it's accurate. Mm-hmm. Why do we do what we do? Why pick us? What's our value proposition? I even boil it down to even some more messaging, which is, okay, who are the top three personas, you know, decision makers that you work with and what's important to them? You know, talk a little bit about product. What are our, you know, key benefits to the end user? Not so much about like our history or how many years in business we've been in business, more about how we help somebody.
Yeah.
And how we, you know, create value for them. We even have talking tracks, you know, how do you start a conversation? What are some great discovery questions that help demonstrate competence and build trust? What are qualifying questions? Don't spend a lot of time on somebody that doesn't have budget, for example.
Yeah.
So again, that's what we do. We create maybe some digital assets they can use during business development efforts. But once they have the playbook, it really helps current employees and more importantly, new people when they come on board.
Yeah. And you talk about trusted advisors too, and trying to help these salespeople switch to become trusted advisors. Can you tell us what are the important components of that?
Yeah. You know, I'm a big fan. You can tell both my kids are grown and out of the house. I read a lot of research. And Florida State did some research with decision makers.
Okay.
And they interviewed them, and I think it was 85% of the buyers and decision makers said they expect a salesperson to be able to connect the dots between what they sell and how it impacts their bottom line. Mm-hmm. But sadly, the next question was, well, how many salespeople are doing that? And I think the answer was less than 14%. So we look at some other data. Right now, 33% of buyers choose not to engage with any salesperson, and that number is growing.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself why. So I found more research, and it's like, well, the salesperson was pitching me, really wasn't listening to me. I don't want to go through that experience of a used car lot, right?
Yeah.
Or they show up and they throw up. They assume you need this. They assume you need that, mm-hmm. where every customer wants to feel unique and special. So again, you know, I teach a lot about asking really good questions, questions that demonstrate competence and build trust. What people are saying is, I want business consultants who are masquerading as salespeople.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And when you're one of those, all kinds of good things happen. There's a phenomenal book called Trusted Advisor that's out on the market. I've created some courses on how to evolve from being a rep, which a lot of people have, to being a trusted advisor. What does that mean? How do you do it? It's a whole different way of doing business because you have to understand your customer and how they make money. And then you have to understand how what you sell, whether it's a product or service, impacts that customer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to give you a quick sample, I was really blessed. I worked for the Timken Corporation as their sales trainer.
Okay.
And one of the things we did was, you know, they sell bearings. And no surprise, if you're a Timken customer, they're not the cheapest bearings in the world. So how do we sell against cheap competitors from overseas? Well, that cheap competitor's bearing might only last 3 months, where Timken's bearing would last 3-4 years, let's say.
Okay.
So what a trusted advisor would say is, okay, what are you buying now? I'm buying this. Okay. And how's that working for you? How often do you have downtime? Oh, I have downtime, you know, 3-4 times a year because, you know, the bearing fails. And I'm like, okay, well, how much does it cost when you have downtime? Like I was working with Ford Motors once and they said, I think it was every 45 minutes is $90,000.
Wow.
Okay. So you're telling me, let's say in this example, you know, 4 times a year, you're spending $90,000. Yes. Okay. Well, what if I, you know, showed you a way that maybe you only have downtime every 2 years? Mm-hmm. Now the bearing is going to cost $4 more per bearing, but I think, you know, over 2 years times 4 times $90,000, it becomes a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
That's the kind of conversation we need to be having. Unfortunately, a lot of sales reps are just not having that today.
Yeah. So let's go back to talking about scaling a little bit. What do people have to know about scaling? If this is what they want to do with their company, tell me how you come in and help them.
Yeah. Again, if you follow my content, you know, my brand is called No Smoke and Mirrors. Mm-hmm. Nothing very fancy. Yeah, I went to Harvard, but hopefully I just talk like everybody else. You know, the model that I use is when you scale a company, you know, obviously you've got, you know, product, you've got people, right? You've got systems and cash. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like oversimplify it, but if you manage those four things, you can scale your business pretty profitably.
And so, go ahead.
So what I've done is I've partnered up with a company that wrote a book called Scaling Up.
Okay.
It's kind of like you've heard of, I believe, like the book Traction and EOS.
Kind
of like the grandfather of that, right? This was out a long time ago. And what it really impresses me is just how simple the model is. And also what impresses my clients is it's what they've always been looking for. A framework, right?
Yeah.
You had asked me early on in this call, you know, do I work alongside of my clients? Well, what they've been hungry for is a system and process that once we create the plan, to make sure we implement the plan.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? 70% of change management fails, and it fails because people don't execute. So what Scaling Up does is it's not only just a methodology. It actually is a software program where I can meet with them once a month and say, okay, what were our big rocks, so to speak? What were the things that we were focused on? Okay, we're going to do this, this, this. Okay, who owned that? How did it go? Sometimes they say, great, we accomplished it. Wonderful. What's our next one? Yeah. Or I didn't get to it. Okay, what's the plan to get caught up? And that monthly cadence is just amazing. It doesn't have to be hours and hours. A lot of times I'll work with each executive separately and we just keep on pace. And then every quarter or so we get together as a group and say, okay, what's working? What's not working? Do we need to adapt? Do we need to adjust? But again, we're looking at those four pillars.
Yeah.
And it's just such a powerful framework that if you follow it, you will grow your company.
Yeah, it sounds like it really has built in accountability then.
Yeah, because again, what I often find is like if I just do training, you know, and again, I do a lot of sales training, how are we going to make sure they implement it?
Yeah.
And the sales manager typically says, well, I'll make sure they do it. I'm like, okay. And then I check back in 60 days. And, you know, if the salespeople applied it, We got to make sure the sales manager is coaching it. Mm-hmm. And we got to make sure their behaviors match what we train.
Yeah.
And so what I like to do is first diagnose what's going on, meet with the senior leadership, collaborate, then we prescribe what we're going to do. And then what I really like about this scaling up is it gives us that accountability framework, both for me as your coach, but also for each team member, because look, we're all busy, right? Yeah. Particularly smaller companies. Every day there seems to be a burning trash can that we need to put out.
Yeah.
I get that. And what I like about this methodology is it allows for that.
Yeah.
But what makes it so unique is, unlike other systems out there, it won't let you execute a bad strategy.
And why? What do you mean?
Because your strategies are based on data, not gut intuition. You know, it's like I was in the advertising business for a short amount of time after we sold the business, right? And I was in a couple meetings and, you know, they charge $15,000, $20,000 and they get all the executives in a room and they're like, tell me about your company. Tell me about your product. All inward facing, right? The approach I take is outward facing. I actually interview your customers with voice of customer research. Yeah. We look at your transaction data. We assess your salespeople. We put all that information into an executive brief. And chances are, I mean, you've got a good company. You wouldn't be in business if you didn't have smart people. But a lot of times we just don't have current data.
Yeah.
So once they see the current data, they listen to the voice of their customers. We look at their transaction data. We can create a pretty powerful strategy. Mm-hmm. If you just meet with your executives, it's almost like self-talk, right?
Yeah.
There's no new information. And it's all based on gut intuition and what you did when you carried a bag 10 years ago.
Yeah.
There wasn't cell phones then, right?
We would have to pull up to the payphone in the rest area.
Right. And it's like, if you really want to get all the air sucked out of the room, you know, when I train particularly like young engineers on how to be salespeople, uh-huh. I tell them, look, I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't even have a laptop.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody's breathing, you know, but I'm very grateful for those times because it created a foundation that we can only build from. And then when new technology comes out, the trick is to apply what we know, leveraging technology.
Yeah.
And again, that's part of the scaling up process too, which is, okay, we need to improve this particular area. How do we do it? Is it a system? Is it a process? Is it something we can buy, build, borrow? So again, it's just very powerful. As you can tell, I'm very excited.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You know, I'm certified in scaling up. It's just one more thing that I invested in to give my customers better service.
Yeah. And one thing I know you've talked about in the past, too, is about just because they're your best salesperson doesn't mean they're going to be a great sales manager. And
yeah.
So is that part of this process, too, making sure that the people who are in the manager positions are right?
Yeah. What we find is, again, being a data guy, about 50% of salespeople have never been trained in sales skills. And even fewer sales managers have been trained in sales management skills.
Yeah.
Often what we find is they take the best-selling salesperson, take them out of the market where they're producing a tremendous amount of revenue, and it's almost like you can picture them kneeling, you take the sword, you tap them on both shoulders, you know, you are now a sales manager, right?
Yes.
You've never trained them, right? You've never given them tools. You've never helped them understand how to coach. So again, what I spend a lot of time helping people become sales managers. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of content on that. There's some great books they can read. But more importantly, I come alongside and I say, okay, let's talk about accountability. Let's talk about your meeting with your people.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how to have coaching conversations where you're asking the employee to fix a particular behavior that's not producing. Don't go in and tell them what to do. Things like that.
Yeah.
And typically I can get somebody that has no management experience up to speed in about 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
And then I stay around because, you know, one thing about salespeople, it's like herding cats, right? There's always a few ornery ones in the group. So
yeah.
I stay around and help the manager get through even the most difficult people.
Yeah.
But it's powerful. We just have to have a system, a process, and a methodology. And then another thing, you know, we look at is motivation. Mm-hmm. One of the things that just shocks me as I assess different teams today, salespeople are not motivated by money today.
Yeah. What are they motivated by?
Intrinsic. You know, they want to improve themselves. They want to be a part of something that's helping the planet. You know, they want to help the community. They want more training, more responsibility. So if you're leading just with compensation and frustrated that it's not working, there's a high probability that the people you're managing are not led by money. Yeah. There are still people out there led by money. Don't get me wrong. But I'm finding it's only about 30, 40%. The majority want to feel valued. They want to be a part of something. They need to know the why of your business.
Yeah.
And that's where I get some pushback, particularly from manufacturing businesses, family-run businesses. I've never needed to know the why. Just get out there and sell, right? But
my dad told me to do this.
You know, it's like, how's that working for you? Why'd you call me if everything's rosy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So every business has an opportunity to improve and become more effective. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm really passionate about, is figuring out how I can help and then help them scale. And sometimes I'm around for 12, 18 months, but part of my model is I don't want you to rely on me.
Yeah.
I want to build the skills and the processes. So maybe I come back in a couple of years and do a tune-up, yeah. But I want you guys to grow profitably.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And how is the Great Resignation impacting what you're doing out in the field?
It's huge. One of my distributors, it's almost 60% of their employees are going to resign in the next 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
And this is like their best, brightest, most experienced. And the hard part is they know stuff that's not written down anywhere. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing in my training now is I'm allowing for collaboration. Like I have two trainings this afternoon, virtual trainings, mm-hmm. and they're going to review their homework. And it shocks me, but it shouldn't, how good some of these seasoned salespeople are when they share these exercises. I mean, that is like gold to a new salesperson.
Yeah.
I mean, often in the review of the homework, I hear a new salesperson say, "Can I borrow that?" You know, the whole peer-to-peer thing is huge in learning.
Yeah.
So one of the things I have the majority of my accounts doing is let's capture that knowledge that isn't written anywhere.
Yeah.
With these experienced people. And once we do it digitally, we have it forever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I know that you also do a lot of keynote speaking. So what's your favorite keynote that you're doing right now?
Right now, I've been doing a lot of speaking about how do we recession-proof? How do we recession-proof our revenue? How do we recession-proof our business? How do we recession-proof our marketing, right? And then I get some pushback, usually at break, right after I've done my speech, you know, my heart's pounding, I'm pretty jazzed. And somebody comes up to me and says, "Dude, this sounds like an awful lot of work. So what if we don't have an economic downturn?" Well, if you don't have an economic downturn and do what I just recommended,
your company's going to go through the roof.
You're going to have more sales, more market share. Typically, if you do like the one part I work on for profitability, you'll have about a 2 to 4% lift in your profits. And also your customer satisfaction soars, right? So even if we don't see an economic downturn, which I believe we will, very shortly, we're going to see gas prices go through the roof again. Disposable income is going to decline. I think the problem with this particular recession, because by definition, we are in a recession. We've had 2 quarters in a row of a drop in GDP, mm-hmm. but people had money.
Yeah.
So as we burn through all that money, we're going to see things slow down. There are some industries that are recession-proof that won't be impacted, but a lot of my clients are manufacturing companies, and you know, they make a tangible product, mm-hmm. and that those folks are going to see something change, and that's why we're recession-proofing them now.
Yeah.
We're putting plans in place based on specific trigger events that should a slowdown occur, we have a plan. Mm-hmm. We're not going to wait around 90 days trying to figure out what happened and be angry. And no. It's all going to be based on data and trigger events.
Yeah. Yeah. And so can you give some suggestions for what a smaller company might do?
Yeah, the biggest thing, if I had to do one thing, there's a great book out there called The Power of One Thing. Uh-huh. And what they ask you to do is write down all your to-dos. And then what one thing could you do that makes all your to-dos go away? It's like a life-changing book, right? If you have a small company, even a large company, do voice of customer research right now. Mm-hmm. Are your customers happy? If they're not happy, understand why. What are they buying that they could buy from you? The best time and money spent is selling more to your existing accounts. I think it's 16 times more profitable to sell a current customer than reach out to new people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just did this for one client, small company, about $10 million manufacturer. And one of their top clients said, well, I really wish they would have helped me on this particular project. And she shared this project. I called the CEO. The CEO called her. He got a $600,000 order.
Wow.
Just because he needed to understand more about the project.
Yeah.
They didn't know enough, deep enough. And again, that's one of the clients that I'm now training. They didn't do enough discovery to understand what the project was.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where we're spending a lot of time right now.
Yeah, right. So everybody can do that.
Yeah, it's not, again,
yeah.
Nothing that I teach is that hard.
Yeah.
But I'm really blessed that I've lived it.
Yeah.
I've tried everything and I've made a lot of mistakes over the years. But the one thing you can do is ask your customers, you know, how are we doing for you? What can we do to make this experience better? What are you buying now? What's my share of your buying wallet? If you ask your salespeople, oh, we've got all the business. Yeah, well, what the data ends up saying is typically you've got about 20%.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, wow. Well, that's really interesting and great information. And just to close the loop on recession, how long do you think it's going to last?
Well, I did a lot of research, right? I mean, I get something in my mind. I have to know more about it. Uh-huh. The average recession lasts 11 months. Uh-huh. We don't know when it's going to really hit hard, and we don't know how deep it's going to hit. But if you've been watching the stock market lately, confidence is really dropping.
Yeah.
If you've been watching interest rates, a friend of mine is a banker, and he's like, you should expect by next June mortgage rates to be 7.5-8%. When those kind of things start happening, we're going to change our behaviors.
Yeah.
And then it's like a trickle down effect, and it's going to impact customers. But the neat thing is, and again, I love reading research. Harvard did a paper on 75% of companies had a revenue decline last recession, but 14% actually accelerated. They grew through the recession and the average growth was 9%. So I spent a lot of time, okay, what did they do? How'd they do it? And that's what I put into some of my presentations now.
So it sounds like you are so busy researching and studying all this stuff. Do you have any time for yourself?
Yeah, I'm really blessed. I have two grandchildren with one more on the way. So just yesterday, I got to spend a whole afternoon with my grandson at a pumpkin patch, right? Oh. So, you know, I'm spending quite a bit of time with them. I spend time with my wife. We really enjoy boating and travel. We had a wonderful trip to Savannah, exploring Savannah. And then I personally love to read. I start each day reading the Bible and journaling. I'm writing my next book. And I love to just write a lot of articles. And again, nothing that I write is all that fancy. I'm not going to win any awards for my writing skills, but it gives me a lot of joy to share what I've learned often the hard way.
Yeah.
And I hope it helps people. I try to put inspirational things out on LinkedIn, not just, you know, work stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm in a new fitness program, right?
Oh,
a lot of people during COVID, you know, COVID-19. Now I had like COVID 40, right? I gained like 40 pounds. So I'm in a new fitness program. And that's the other thing I do when I'm not working. So yeah, I try to have balance and I try to read things that are maybe not even business related. I used to read a book a week. And now I read two books a month. Again, I'm just, like you said, very busy, but I need to make time for other more important things.
Yeah. And so you get up at 4:30. What time do you go to bed?
Usually about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Well, I've woken up before the alarm for like the last 30 years. Again, what puts the fire in my belly is, who am I going to meet today that I can help?
Yeah.
And that's just a rush. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Great. Well, thank you so much. One thing that I always ask everybody that's on with me is, what are three traits that you think are necessary that a person needs to have in order to soar to success individually as a person?
Well, you got to be focused about serving others, not focused on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to be tremendously curious. Like, ask the five whys when somebody tells you something, right?
Yeah.
And then a passion, like I said, a passion to work with people, collaborate. You know, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room, mm-hmm. right? And if you are, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah.
But there's a power. I used to write this on the bottom of my emails. None of us are as smart as all of us.
Yeah. Right.
And we all have gifts and strengths. What do you say we all get together, look at the data, and work together to create plans that not only help our company scale, but help our customers?
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Those are great. So how can people find out more about you and find out about your trainings and the new program, the Scaling Up program, et cetera?
Well, I'm very active on LinkedIn, Mark Allen Roberts, because if you Google Mark Roberts, it's the world's most famous streaker, right? So that's not me. And I don't think in any way that would help me in my career. You know, I have a website, otbsalessolutions.com.
Okay.
My blog is nosmokeandmirrors.com. And again, I'm kind of an old school guy, as you can tell. I've been doing this a long time. A lot of people just reach out on my cell phone.
Okay.
And it's like, what? He's going to give his cell phone number? Yeah. I have people call me all the time. Usually it's like a CEO on their drive home or on the drive in the morning, because my day usually starts about 4:30.
Uh-huh.
You know, my cell number is 330-413-8552.
Okay.
If you hear this and you want to talk about it, give me a call.
Yeah.
I'm not going to charge you for the first conversation. I'm just going to help you understand and help me understand if I can help you.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few people I tell I can't help.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help you if all you want to do is 2% growth.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not the right guy. Could I help you? Yeah, but it's not what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about that team that says, look, I'm 10 million now. I want to be 40 million in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Great. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today.
Well, thanks, Pat. Thanks for all you do. And I love your magazine.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.